This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you again. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. It's the wake-up show. The wake-up show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber, and you can apply online at 84lumber.com. I'll be with you today and tomorrow talking sports, and there's plenty to talk about, but one subject in particular that is really catching Pittsburgh's interest. Some sporting events coming up over the weekend. The Pittsburgh Steelers play the Seattle Seahawks. That's the most common one. 4:05 start on Sunday, December the 31st. So a New Year's Eve game that we all get to enjoy. A Eve holiday that falls on a Sunday. Had Christmas Eve fall on a Sunday as well, so we got a whole lot of football over the Christmas holiday, and now the New Year's holiday will get some attention as well, just how the calendar falls this season. Pitt men's basketball plays on the road on Saturday, December 30th, against Syracuse. That game you can listen to right here on 93.7 The Fan. And the Pittsburgh Penguins play tonight at 7:30 against the New York Islanders. Penguins team still kind of caught up in the middle of, you know, success and struggles with their ever-aging roster, and they're not getting any younger anytime soon. I mean, that's just the biggest critique of the Penguins, that they're kind of just sitting around. They've got glimmers of hope, and then they lose games that you feel like they could win. Or they lose close games. They just keep, for a hockey term, they keep dropping the puck. They don't hold on to the puck. Is that a term? I don't know. I don't like how that one landed. They struggle late in games for the most part. I mean, an inspiring win in a shootout against the Hurricanes on Thursday to be followed by a Saturday overtime defeat to the Ottawa Senators. Not a fan of that. Don't like to see that. So I mean, they're losing winnable games, and I think that's the most frustrating part. But they're never going to be a serious playoff contender again until some youth gets inserted into this roster. And I mean, that's really it. I don't foresee them winning any Stanley Cups anytime soon, based on how this is built. I mean, Erik Karlsson was. I mean, it was an exciting acquisition. It seemed to alleviate a lot of problems that the Penguins had. But ultimately, they're still, they can't hide the fact that their stars are aging and that they're losing games that they could very well win. That they definitely would have won 4 or 5 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, that's where the Penguins sit. I mean, it's not new either, and that the Penguins are kind of just hanging out in with a consistent reputation right now, and it doesn't seem to be, it doesn't look like it's getting much better, or it's going to get much better anytime soon here. 412-928-9370 is the phone number if you want to call and talk to me this morning. You're welcome to. That's the line you can reach me at to get on the air, 412-928-9370. 9370. You can also talk to me on X. That's at @Callas_33. @Callas_33. You can mention me in a post, and I read those. And sometimes I read them on the air. So if you want to call or you want to make an X post, I still haven't figured out. Do we still call those tweets? You can let me know that as well. Are they tweets? Are they X posts? I've been calling them X posts just because, but I don't like the name change. It makes me upset. I hate changes like that. Tweet and Twitter were such easy words to spit out. And now we get X. Just a letter. Nah. All right. The big news of the week so far is that Mike Tomlin said Kenny Pickett conveniently is not quite ready to return from injury yet. And Mason Rudolph will get a second opportunity to start a football game against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. First of all, by the way, too, I want to address this as it relates to the Steelers. I was listening to Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio while I was doing some work here this morning, and she was listening off from fans who had reached out to her. She was reading off fans who were giving worst teams in sports history. And apparently a few people said the 2023 Steelers. The Steelers are not the worst team in history. They're not the worst team in the history of sports. The Steelers have a consistent trend of underachieving. That you could say, and maybe that makes them bad, but they are not among the worst performing teams in the history of sports. You would have to go back to the times of the Steagles or even before the merger there in the 30s and 40s. The Steelers are they're fine. They haven't been the worst of any team in sports in a long time, if at all. They were pretty bad, you know, pre-Chuck Knoll, and I'm sure we all know that, and many of you, I'm sure, love to relive those glory days that I wasn't quite alive for, but yeah, the Steelers are not the worst team this season or any recent season in the history of sports. They play well enough to just stay around, and if they're sticking around, they're not the worst. I mean, we're talking about, you know, let's maybe look more toward the direction of the Chicago Cubs, who hadn't won a World Series in 108 years, some of those teams that were dreadful. The Houston Astros from like 2011 to 2013. The 0-16 Browns or the 0-16 Lions. The Steelers are fine. They're fine. And the Steelers have won a Super Bowl at least. So, again, worst team in history. I don't buy that. If you call and disagree, though, I'd love to hear your perspective at 412-928-9370. If you think they're the worst team, I don't really think there's many people who have that opinion. I don't know, you know, who texted into that show earlier on and said that or messaged in and said that, because that to me is just, that's not the case. Now, if we're looking at some other, like, bad teams, not just, you know, not in history, not that whole realm, but maybe just this season, there are so many teams right now that have also utterly blown it. The Steelers are not alleviated from their mistakes of the past, which the losses to the Cardinals and the Patriots, those are unforgivable. And you should still scrutinize the Steelers as you do, because they are a team that had it and now doesn't have it. But I would also like to just mention other teams that have indeed had it and have since lost it this season so far. Big NFC team that had it. It was the Dallas Cowboys. They seem to always do this. They're 10-5 now. They lost two crucial games, and now doesn't look like that they can win the division with two games left in the season. They're 10-5 with the Eagles at 11-4. They had a chance to take the division with the Eagles losing some crucial games, and they could not. The Detroit Lions, a team that, this is a team that's surprising. That's not so much where the conversation is going here, but 11-4, they have the division for the first time since 93. That's an exciting story. The rest of the teams, though, in the division, the Bears, we expected them to be around terrible this year. They're 6-9. And then the Packers and Vikings, 7-8. Oh, man, that, I mean, they were disappointing this season. The NFC South is terrible and always has been. Not always has been, but recently, you know what I'm talking about. And then some AFC teams that have really just not done great. The Bills are on a three-game winning streak, but they started the season out slow, and that allowed the Dolphins, who are at 11-4, to really run away with the AFC East. The Kansas City Chiefs, 9-6. They've lost plenty of winnable games this season, including a loss in game one of the year to the Detroit Lions. They're a team you got to look at and say, what the heck? How about the AFC North? Strongest of divisions, it seems, in the AFC, with the Ravens at 12-3, the Browns at 10-5, and then the Steelers and Bengals at 8-7. And then the AFC South, the Jaguars have lost four in a row. They're 8-7. The Colts, 8-7, and the Texans, 8-7. So Colts and Texans, two teams that you feel like shouldn't be in it that kind of are. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars, who seem to have a hold on the division early on, have lost four in a row. So the reason for this exercise, just observing other teams in the division is to, or other teams in other divisions and across the entire NFL standings landscape, is that the Steelers have botched this season. There's no doubt. They've lost winnable games, and they had good positioning in the division, and they were on their way to a playoff berth before losing three crucial games in a row. So, you as a Steeler fan out there have every right to be frustrated that the Steelers lost those games, and the Steelers are now struggling for a playoff spot. You have every right to be. But look at some of the other teams out there that had high expectations and have blown it. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they count as that. The Kansas City Chiefs are in all likelihood going to win the division. They're 9-6. The Buffalo Bills started the season out slow, and they are on a three-game winning streak, but they're 9-6. There's so many teams that have high expectations, and so many unpredictable things can happen. And I said this last week. This is the season of the backup quarterbacks. This is the season of players that have worked hard to make an impact. Brock Purdy seemed to start the trend last season when he played well for the San Francisco 49ers, and that so many other teams have this season had success with backups. The Colts have had Gardner Minshew playing, mostly since Anthony Richardson got hurt. Joe Flacco could be comeback player of the year after not playing half of a season yet even. I mean, he's played in minimal games, but he's made such an impact that the Browns are still afloat without Deshaun Watson at 10-5. Jake Browning of the Cincinnati Bengals has kept them afloat. They're tied with the Steelers. They don't have the tiebreaker because the Steelers won both games, but the Steelers and Bengals both at 8-7. The Bengals still kind of in it with two games left in the regular season. So, yeah, I mean, there are so many stories of backup quarterbacks leading the way that the star quarterbacks are kind of being pushed to the side. I mean, the trend right now is the backup quarterbacks coming through and winning games for teams. There is just so much in this season that is so strange, where teams are not doing well or teams are getting bested by backups. And the Steelers have hopped on the trend of third-string quarterback success with Mason Rudolph getting the Steelers to score 30 points, which is arguably the best offensive performance that they have had in 2 years. Kenny Pickett was able to squeak out wins for the Steelers. But to watch the Steelers win a game that securely was refreshing. Mason Rudolph clearly has the deep ball, and George Pickens thrives on catching deep passes, getting open in space and making needle-threading catches. It's an odd year. Be upset with the Steelers. But look at the league in perspective this year as well. This is a weird season. This is a trust backup quarterback season. This is a teams with high expectations are struggling type of season. And the Steelers still are, they're still doing well. They still have a shot at the playoffs. The Steelers are 8-7, and the Steelers have lost one game in division this season. That's it. The only thing that's going to hurt them in the wildcard standings is a head-to-head against a non-division opponent. Unfortunately, their one loss in division came to the Browns, and they'll have the tiebreaker as it relates to the wildcard standings. I don't know if the Browns still have a shot to win the division as well. The Ravens, all they have to do is win, though, one more game, and the Ravens get the division. And I'm not going to do quick math right now because it's too complicated for me at this hour of the morning. But, the Steelers are in... They could have been in a better position, but they're not necessarily in a bad position right now. Their chances to make the playoffs, I understand, are slim according to some probabilities in newspapers or whatever. I'm drinking the Steeler Kool-Aid right now, and I'm saying, you know what, I hope that they make it, and I hope that they trust Mason Rudolph to play quarterback and set him up for success because he's done well. We're going to continue talking about that. I just kind of wanted to give you that perspective, though. Of the entire league this season. It's a weird year. You can be mad at the Steelers, but just look in perspective and maybe pride yourself on the rest of the league and seeing how much that they have struggled as well. Other teams in the league, how they have struggled as well. You can call me 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X. It's at Callas_33. That's CALLAS_33. I can kind of tell, though, it seems that the holidays are here, and perhaps several listeners out there maybe out of their routines and maybe sleeping right now because this is an early hour for a holiday weekend, a holiday stretch. But, if you want to get in, though, opinions can never start too early. Opinions can never fly too early, especially on 93.7 The Fan, where we do sports all day, starting at 5 a.m. and ending at midnight and round the clock. Overnight, too, actually. We got sports on this station 24/7. But you can give me a call right now, 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X at Callas_33. That's CALLAS_33. I'd like to get into the Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett talks a little bit because there seems to be a heavy debate brewing on who should start for the rest of the season and should the Steelers make a playoff push, who should start for the Pittsburgh Steelers in that run. 412-928-9370. Phone lines are open. If you want to snatch one, you're welcome to, and again, you can talk to me on social media. You can talk to me on X. If you mention me in a post, that's at Callas_33, CALLAS_33. Again, my name's Nicholas Harry Callas, and this is the Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 23 Silverado 1500s up to $7,500 in rebates. Go to sunchevy.com today. High of 54, low of 49. It's going to be warm, but there's going to be rain all morning and into the early afternoon. So, yuck. And then tomorrow, high of 52, low of 42. Overcast skies expected. It's supposed to be just overcast and still kind of mid-warm over your New Year's weekend. No, I lied about that. I'm sorry. Friday, the temperature high drops to 42. It's going to be in the high 30s over the New Year's weekend. So actually, we're getting that winter chill. Never mind. So going to be warm these next 2 days. Got some rain again this morning. And then, and then a cold New Year's Eve holiday it's looking to be. It's Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'll be here with you this morning. And then again tomorrow morning before I take off for my birthday on Friday and then the holiday weekend. So it's nice to be with you talking about sports. And what a time to talk about sports because we got one of the biggest stories of the year. I know it's the end of the year, but this is a big storyline that Kenny Pickett still out with injury, as Mike Tomlin puts it, but it seems like a convenient excuse to not make a tough decision. It will be Mason Rudolph who gets the start on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This one's kind of interesting. If you want to call in, you're welcome to voice your opinion on the matter at 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X at Callis underscore 33. That's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. But Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett, who is more deserving of play? Who would give the Steelers the best chance to win? What is the right decision for Mike Tomlin to make if Kenny Pickett is the solidified number one starter? All trends for me this year are telling me that the Steelers should stay with Mason Rudolph. But Mike Tomlin doesn't make decisions based on trends. Mike Tomlin doesn't make decisions based on popular opinion. Mike Tomlin seems like a loyal coach, seems like a loyal guy, and if Kenny Pickett is their projected guy, then in that realm, Kenny Pickett should start. If the Steelers want to take a risk, try something different, and have that, not even that better chance of winning, but it's not necessarily that Mason Rudolph gives them a better chance of winning, but right now he's a guy that has established that he can make plays that have not been made consistently before, then you choose Mason Rudolph. I understand the tough decision, and I heard opinions yesterday on the station that if you really think Kenny's the guy, you want to get the maximum sample size out of Kenny Pickett. These callers aren't even saying that Kenny Pickett is the better quarterback necessarily, but they want him to demonstrate once and for all in these last two games, if he could, whether or not he's good enough. And then if not, the Steelers can either dip into the draft and try to get a guy, or they can maybe invest in a quarterback or let Mason Rudolph play in future seasons. So that's the big debate right now. 412-928-9370 is the phone number you can reach me at, and we got someone on the line right now who wants to talk. Good morning. What's your name?
Hey, this is Doug. How are you doing today?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
So here's my perspective on it. It might not be shared by many, but, man, the Steelers need to win out. And I think they will, just because that's the Steeler way. They always lose games that they shouldn't lose. And then they win the games that they shouldn't win.
Yep.
Tom will keep his, you know, his little streak going of winning seasons. But if the perspective I have is this, right? So if we lose out, hypothetically, we lose out, what's that going to do for our draft pick? Not much. The best that we'll probably get is the 11th, 12th pick, which is higher than, I don't think we've had that high since, what, Ben? Since we drafted Ben?
Sounds right.
So what's that do for us? You know, we've struck out on many of our first-round picks in the past couple of years. So my perspective is I'd rather them get to the playoffs and take a chance in the playoffs. Like you said, this season has been very unorthodox. It hasn't gone the way many perceived it to go. So let's get in the playoffs. Maybe we'll play the Chiefs, who have been struggling, and we can squeak out a win against the Chiefs.
Which quarterback gives the Steelers the best chance to win?
I would say Rudolph, because here's the thing, right? Rudolph, we already know Trubisky's he's doomed to fail. That was a horrible pickup.
Right.
We know that. So my mindset is put Rudolph in, right? Because this dude's playing for a contract next year. He's looking for something for next year to prove that he got it. And to me, against Cincinnati last week, that offense, that was the most confident I'd seen them play. They all, you know, wanted to go out and play, it looked like, to me.
So there's you don't think there's any value in Kenny Pickett starting the next two games if he could? No?
Nope. And you know what? I think this would help Kenny, because all season, to me, the dude did not look confident. Didn't trust himself. Didn't trust his receivers. And Mason coming in there and just throwing the ball up. Maybe Kenny can take that perspective. Like, dude, just play the game. Let my receivers do the work. That's how I feel about it. I mean, Mason's got a chance. He gives that offense some sort of life. You know, and it looks like, you know, Pickens and Johnson trust them and want to play. So,
yeah. Hey,
that's what I hope for.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's a very fair perspective. I think that some would disagree with the part about them winning out. Although you're right, it wouldn't help draft position all that much. Part of me wants Mike Tomlin to lose the winning season streak. Because it's one of those streaks that really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of your goal, which is to win a championship. So part of me wants that to happen. But also part of me is like, you know what? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Let them win out. Let them get to 10 wins. Let them push for the playoffs. I want to see that happen. It's really tough, though. I mean, the Steelers put themselves in a tough position. They do win games they should lose. They do lose games they should win. They play hard for a portion of the season. Players have admitted that they take teams lightly. There are players on the team that play hard all the time. There are some selfish egos on the Steelers. There have been in recent years. But they've always come back to at least give themselves a chance to make the playoffs. Only to lose in the first round if they get there. It's really tough. This is not easy. It's not an easy decision. Now that I think about it, that last caller, too, gave some great perspective. I don't know what the right answer is. I have not known all season. This season's so unpredictable, it's scary. We want Kenny Pickett to start to see what he has, and I understand that perspective to an extent. But I always want to give the Steelers the best chance to win, and I do feel like, just with my gut feeling after watching last week, that Mason Rudolph is the best decision for the Steelers moving forward this season. Maybe not next season. Maybe Kenny Pickett can get it together and improve in a newly constructed offense. But for right now, right this second, I say Mason Rudolph gives the Steelers the best chance. And I am happy with him starting this next game and perhaps at the end of the season, but this is not going to be an easy announcement for Mike Tomlin to make or Mike Tomlin to manage. I really don't think so. Because if Kenny Pickett is the proclaimed guy, and you're going to start Mason Rudolph, who's making the league minimum, I just found out through a conversation the other day, the league minimum, $1 million and some change. Yeah. I don't know what that says about the rest of the team, but it doesn't look great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.